Welcome to Agents of Providence. I'm Doyle Burbank Williams. It's my privilege to be the pastor for the folk of New Visions United Methodist in Lincoln, Nebraska. The thoughts shared here form kind of the framework for our worship experiences, and hopefully a place to challenge each other a little bit on how we can work with the love of God to make this world a better place. We're in a series now of which is an invitation to take a pause in order to dream. And the idea is that when we are too busy, when we are overwhelmed, we can't see, we can't envision, we can't dream all of the possibilities. In this busy world, it always feels like time is running out and we're so rushed, we may not hear the Spirit opening new paths and ideas to us. We forget that we can stop the running clock and take time for our minds and hearts to roam and to dream. Dreaming opens us to God's imagination for our lives, our community, and for the world. Now, the Bible has a lot of stories where dreams lead people right to God's desire. When we dream, we invite ourselves to be inspired in everything we do. Dreaming becomes a spiritual discipline, bringing us closer to God. So let's take a pause to dream. Let's listen in on one of God's dreams that may invite us to dream about more than enough. So we'll be right back with a passage from Isaiah. We're hearing the ancient words from the prophet Isaiah in the 35th chapter, verses 5 through 10. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be cleared. The lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless will sing. Waters will spring up in the desert and streams in the wilderness. Burning sand will become a pool and the thirsty ground fountains of water. The jackal's habitat, a pasture. Grass will become reeds and rushes. A highway will be there and it will be called the Holy Way. The unclean won't travel on it, but it'll be for those walking on that way. Even fools won't get lost on it. No lion will be there. No predator will go up on it. None of these will be there. Only the redeemed will walk on it. God's ransomed ones will return and enter Zion with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. Happiness and joy will overwhelm them. Grief and groaning flee away. The powers of the world have done a really good job selling the myth of scarcity. There is not enough time or not enough resources. That myth tells us that we are not enough. But God's dream transforms the desert into a lush oasis. God's dream will transform us too. Now, pastor salaries were pretty meager back in my dad's day. If I hadn't told you already, I'm a preacher's kid. And so I'm thinking back to those early days with dad bringing in the only income with four boys to raise. There were days that dad drove a school bus just to make ends meet. I think mom and dad did a pretty good job of shielding us from just how tight things were sometimes. Today I realized that some of my childhood favorite dishes were actually an exercise of my mother's creative budget stretching. I'm sure creamed eggs on toast was an end-of-the-month supper, but I didn't know it then. Growing up, I remember that we were subtly encouraged to dream of modest gifts for Christmas. I was thrilled to receive a G.I. Joe space capsule one year and realized what an extravagance that was. We never felt deprived, but I think we knew that some of our friends had more. Like a lot of our families, most churches that I grew up in or around were also more or less subtly told not to dream too big. I'm of the generation whose parents and grandparents experienced the Great Depression. They had a deep-seated fear that those days of deprivation and want could come back. Those generations were the leaders in our churches, and they set that pattern for years to come. Frugality is next to godliness. Long-range plans were limited to fuel bills, fixing leaks, and maybe once in a blue moon, some new carpet. The dreams were of grandpa's funeral, the occasional wedding or baptism of a grandchild, and the hopes for a good crop this year to help pay the mission shares. Much of the Bible is written with this mentality of scarcity. I'm told that the economy of the Bible believed that everything was a limited set. There was only so much money in the world. There was only so much water in the world. There was only so much power or influence in the world. What there was all there was. This kind of thinking meant the entitled rich deserved what they had and the destitute poor had to do without. Because of the entrenched caste systems in biblical lands, there was no hope for the poor to improve their lot in life. There was no reason to dream that things could be better, that life could be better, because that's just the way things were. Time and again, the prophets, those who were called to share God's word with the people, saw things differently. God's dream was to turn the world upside down. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be cleared. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless will sing. The conditions that never change can change for the better, even change for the best. Everything in this passage from Isaiah names something beyond human control. Physical conditions, geography itself, even human nature. But in every case, God dreams of transforming them unimaginably. And so God invites us to dream too. The scale of world changing in this passage from Isaiah invites us to dream on an extravagant scale too. This is not an invitation to tweak. What does a world perfected by the love of God look like to you? Dreaming large might not feel normal. We've been inundated with those messages about how we don't have enough. We tend to believe that God really can, we tend not to believe that God really can supply all that we need and much more. Now, I know the issue of tithing makes most of us pretty uncomfortable, myself included. And I want us to consider the ability to dream more than I want to talk about giving habits. But in anecdotal evidence that really does seem unbelievable, God really does provide. In the early days of my ministry, I struggled to preach about giving and stewardship because I had student loans and a salary that didn't stretch very far. I didn't think it was prudent financial advice to give an entire 10%. I didn't even think it was possible. I didn't think that was what was left would cover the rest of our expenses. I heard church members who said that when they faithfully gave a tithe, God made what was left enough and more than enough. It took me years to get to the point where I was able to do that. And despite it not seeming like a rational result, I have experienced that same generosity in turn from the universe. Now, my point is not to guilt you into giving more. It is to assure you that God loves to provide more than you need or expect. This brings me to what I believe is the most important aspect of all this. When we lean into the myth of scarcity, that there isn't enough in the world, then we often apply that myth to our own lives. We begin to believe that we aren't enough. We aren't smart enough, or beautiful enough, or loving enough, or whatever. It is good news indeed that the God who has the resources to transform a dry desert into a verdant oasis can transform the drifting sands of your life or heart and bring it to abundant life too. It is an invitation to dream that you are enough, and that you are a gift to this world. You make the desert blossom and bloom. God gives you enough and more than enough, and you are enough and more than enough to be in this world. And so here are some questions to ponder. What areas of your life are you hesitant to dream big? How might abundant love change the way you see or feel about yourself? What might God's dream for new visions look like? And if scarcity was not an issue, what ministry would you bring into the world? This is Doyle Burbank Williams. You've been listening to Agents of Providence. I hope these thoughts have in some way inspired or urged you to consider ways that you might be in the world to make the world a better place. If you've got some comments, please leave them. I'd love to be in conversation with you. Otherwise, hope to spend a little bit of time with you again on our next episode of Agents of Providence.